Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Live at Ship Brothers Brewing, tonight's show is brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing. Here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing, 23 West Church Street in downtown Newark. And another pleasant Monday evening that we have once again. Mother Nature providing it. I know some rain is on the way, but even last night, that felt pretty good, having that rain, and a little bit more would not do any type of damage to our already destroyed yards, that is for sure. But you can stop on down, get some great food and drinks, as always, right here at Ship Brothers Brewing. And tonight, we will be featuring Newark Catholic High School and spotlighting them a little bit later on in this program. But let's start with recapping, which is hard to believe, already halfway through the high school football regular season, week number 5. Is in the books, and our game last week here on Kate 98.7, it was homecoming for the Newark Wildcats as they were coming off a tough loss to Groveport, ending their unbeaten streak at 3 straight games, but they got right back on the horse and took care of Logan and the OCC Buckeye by a final score of 55-0. They wasted no time. Their opening drive started at the 41-yard line, and Bodie Smith, he went to the air a couple of times, but that set up a big pass play from Bodie to Drayson Peterson. Smith gets the snap, will look, fires, and wide open and making the catch for the first down and getting inside the 30. Here, 20. It's a 10. 5. House call. Wildcats. Drayson Peterson, the big man on the outside, takes it 38 yards to pay dirt, and just like that, the Cats strike first. Sam Brudbill added the extra point, and it was 7-0 Newark. And then, you know, he said, let's have brotherly love going on. So Colton Peterson, he decided to get into the scoring frame on the Wildcats' next possession.
Two wideouts to the far side, one to the near. Peterson in the backfield with Smith, and they'll hand it off. He breaks one tackle. He's at the 10. 5. It'll be another house call for the Wildcats as Peterson takes it in along the right side, broke two tackles, and it's now 13-0.
And the extra point was good as well there. So it was 14-0 Newark, and that's the way the first quarter came to an end. But the Newark offense was just getting started. And once again, Colton Peterson decided to get into the frame, this time through the air.
He's in the backfield with Smith. He'll get the handoff to the left side. Nice cut. He's at the 15. Makes another move. House call. Peterson, 20 yards. He is having a career night in this first half.
And he did finish with 150 yards rushing. Still in the second quarter, the brother combo came up once again. Bodie Smith going to the air, and here comes Drayson.
First and 10 from the 28. Smith to throw. Fires. Here's the catch made. Breaking one tackle. Peterson, 10, 5. Another touchdown. Peterson breaking tackles again. Takes it to pay dirt, and another touchdown for Newark. Up 28-0.
And the defense, which had been stalwart all evening on, not letting Logan get anything going, they decided they wanted to get a touchdown as well.
Third and 10, Logan. And odd to throw. Pumps once, fires, intercepted. At the 20, at the 10, it's a pick six for the Cats. That is Tyler Hurd taking it in from 25 yards. And that makes the score now 33 for Newark and nothing for the Chieftains.
And it made it 34-0 after another extra point by Brettville. And finally, besides a Peterson or defensive score, Alexander Irvin Royster said, I want to get into the house.
Second down and 6 from the Chieftain 8-yard line. Smith hands it off to Irvin Royster. Up the middle, into the end zone. Touchdown, Newark. With 1 minute exactly to go in this second quarter. So Royster gets on the scoring column, and it's up to 40-0.
41-0 was the halftime score, 55-0 was the final. The Chieftains offense only getting 7 yards in this ball game, did not get a first down until 4 minutes remained in the fourth quarter. That's how dominant the Newark defense was, and they improved to 4-1 on the season. A team, a sneaky team that's getting a lot better since week one, that would be Licking Heights. They had a strong running attack and also a great defensive effort to win 41-0 over Lakewood Friday night in Lakewood. Jake Lupino, 13 times he carried the tote for 111 yards and 3 touchdowns to lead the Hornets, who now have 2 wins in their last 3 contests and will, I think, be someone to watch in the LCL Buckeye for the second half of the season. They did a good job of shutting down Lakewood's offense, which has been able to move the ball on a lot of people, but they were able to get a couple of interceptions and shut out Lakewood for the 41-0 victory. Watkins Memorial still looking for their first win in 2024, and it looked like they were going to be able to send Johnstown to overtime on Friday night. They were down 28-21 after trailing throughout the ball game, and they were able to move deep into Johnny territory late, but safety Tyler Sheets of the Johnnies was able to knock the ball away with just a couple minutes remaining. They were able to recover it, and Johnstown moves to 4-1 with the 28-21 victory. Watkins' offense finally gets going after really struggling for a majority of the first half of the season, as coming back after an injury a couple of weeks ago was Drew Samsell, and he was able to get the ball moving around a little bit. Jaden Rietz also had a 58-yard touchdown and an 89-yard punt return, but again, Johnstown doing what they do, led by Sam Marisek. He was able to get a couple of touchdowns, and their senior running back, Nana Owosu, had a 43-yard touchdown as well to give Johnstown, again, their fourth victory in 5 games. How about Northridge, already eclipsing their win total from last year, moving to 3-2 as they shut out visiting Zanesville Friday night at homecoming, 7-0. The lone score came in the second quarter, a 5-yard touchdown run by quarterback Ty Kohler, and then it was the Northridge defense allowing less than 100 total yards for Zanesville for the remainder of the game to again move over 500 at 3-2. Granville remains unbeaten. They got 17 third quarter points to put away Utica final on Friday night, 44-0 in Utica. Beckett Lawn had a couple of touchdown passes of 42 yards to Noble Terriboo and 55 yards to Jacob Culver in the first quarter, and then added a 19-yard touchdown pass to star Kyle Kirby in quarter number 3, and a couple of more runs by Theo Talbot of 7 and 11 and 2 yards, and Broden Shopes doing a good job kicking the ball, kicking a field goal as well for the final score of 44-0 for the Blue Aces, who are 5-0. Mount Vernon got their first win of the 2024 season as they were able to knock off Heath by a final of 31-16, going up 24-0 and then hanging on for the victory as the Bulldogs fall to 1-4. For Heath, Braden Gibson led the way at the quarterback position. He was 18 of 30 for 199 yards through a touchdown pass to Carter Mason. Tristan Jones added a 1-yard touchdown run as well. So, league play starts this week across the LCL Buckeye and LCL Cardinal. Right now in the Buckeye, as league play gets starts, Granville is 5-0. Licking Valley one behind at 4-1 in the regular non-conference season. Licking Heights 2-3. Mount Vernon 1-4. Watkins and Zanesville both winless after 5 contests. In the LCL Cardinal, Johnstown at 4-1. Northridge at 3-2. Then you've got Heath, Utica, and Lakewood all coming in with 1-4 marks, and Newark Catholic, after a very tough non-league schedule, still looking for their first win after 5 ball games. So that's where we look at football so far. We want to get into the computer points and playoffs. We'll do that a couple of weeks from now. I know people are looking at it right now, but with 16 teams looking in each region and each division, it's going to be a while before we really want to see who's going to be where, who could be hosting, things of that nature. But right now, several of the teams are in postseason play. They might be able to lock it up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll have to wait and see, but it should be an exciting race as both the LCL Cardinal and LCL Buckeye start with league action coming up this Friday night. Our Friday night game will be LCL Buckeye action as Watkins Memorial travels to Granville to take on the Blue Aces. We'll have the pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 o'clock right here on Kate 98.7. When we come back, we will feature the Newark Catholic and we will talk golf as the sectional play got underway earlier today. We'll see how the Green Wave did with their head coach and one of their star golfers. That's coming up next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7.
Now, back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And we are back, everyone. We're going to talk some Newark Catholic golf right now, and hot off the presses, I guess you could say, but sectional golf tournament started earlier today at the Denison Golf Club, and we are happy to be joined by Newark Catholic head coach Phil West and one of the outstanding players he has for his golf team, that being Brogan Sullivan. So, Coach, I'll turn it over to you. How did we do this morning?
Oh, we had a lot of fun. Winning is always fun.
Yes.
That was our number one goal, was to get back on the winning track. We'd had a few less than stellar outings, but this guy's been steady all year, and he did it again today, along with his teammate Bobby Kiber. Both of them shot 74, and that led the way for a 3-11. So they take two teams out for district. So we got the first place, and then Centerburg was second at 325.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that's always exciting, and you're right, and you know, it was, I'm sure, a little bit disappointing with Granville taking the LCL. I think you'd won it four straight years, I believe.
Three
straight years.
Three.
So, but to get right back on the horse in tournament play, that's a pretty exciting moment.
Yes, very much so. The resiliency of our team is outstanding, and we lost three really good players to graduation, but we kept two players that from that team, and they've both just had great seasons so far.
Brogan, how did it feel playing today?
It felt good. I really liked how I played today. Could have putted a little bit better, but...
Is there not a golfer that ever says that? I mean, no. It always seems that's the toughest part. I asked Coach before we went on the air, with that little bit of rain that we've had last night, I mean, you've played in dry conditions all mm-hmm. season long. Did that change it up a little bit today with just that little bit of moisture that we had overnight?
Yeah, it definitely did. I was able to spin the ball a lot better, hit it closer to the pins, not have to worry about it roll out. But the only bad thing, lost a little bit of distance on driver.
Yeah.
And
what part of your game do you think you excel at the most? I mean, you're a state qualifier multiple times, so every part of your game is pretty good. But is there one area that you think is a little bit stronger than the others, or an area you really love?
Most consistent is always my iron play.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just normally goes where I need it to go and able to get on the green.
But that's usually the toughest part for a lot of golfers is, I mean, a lot of guys can hit it long, and some guys are okay with the putter, but the iron play, I mean, that really, to me, that's what gives you the opportunity to score well, is if you're able to dial in, and you said even put some spin on it to get it around the green. So how have you been able to really excel at one of the more difficult parts of the game?
I feel like that's what I practice the most, just go on the range, hit different targets.
Is one of the targets the AD's coach, since he lives nearby? I'm just, you know, could you hit a window every once in a while? Just to practice short game.
Yeah, sometimes.
Hoping so. Coach, every sport is a certain percentage mental, a certain percentage physical, but I have to think golf is the most mentally challenging sport there is out there. So as a coach, how do you, when a kid's maybe not having the best type of day or the best swing, how do you keep them motivated and not let it get into their heads?
A lot of times I don't.
Okay.
It can be very daunting out there. Most of the times in tournaments, they don't get to see their teammates. They're all over the course. But you brought up something key, and that's the mental part. That separates Brogan from the rest of most players that I've seen. He has an incredible demeanor. But what we try to do is keep it very simple. You know, stick to your routine, stick to our process. Don't worry about the score, worry about the process, and that will take care of itself. A lot of times that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. So when that fails, I make fun of myself in front of them and get them to laugh.
Well, whatever works. That's so right. I'm going to ask both of you this question of how you got into this game. So I'm going to start with you of why, how do you get into coaching golf?
For me, I was working at Granville Golf Course, now called Denison, and the head coach of Granville asked me to be his assistant. I was working there part-time, and he was the pro, and he said, you know how to be an athlete, you know how to win, and I need an assistant. And I at first hesitated, but it's the coolest thing I've ever done. I would never change it. I was adamant about golf, pretty passionate, but this is the best thing I've ever done.
So it also, when we talk about mental, it also might be the most addicting sport because
yeah.
I didn't start hacking, and yeah. I'm not saying play, I really mean hacking, until I went to college, and I said, boy, I wish I would have picked this game up earlier, because I don't know if it's just that ultimate challenge of having a score that you want, but you just can't walk away and say, I'm not playing it ever again.
There's not a gray spot in golf. You either love it or you hate it, so it's white or black.
And it's usually on the same 18. I love it and I hate it all at the same time.
That happens a lot.
Okay, Brogan, so how did you get into golf and why do you love it so much?
It was really my dad. I'm from, like, my family's big on golf. My neighbors are big on golf. My friends are. And, like, I don't know. It's just fun to practice, fun to be by yourself on green with music playing or just practicing.
Is it, even in a team sport like this, where it's still based kind of on your individual scores, is it you against other opponents or you against the course most of the time?
It's really both.
Okay. Kind of elaborate, if you can, on that for me. Because, I mean, you know, especially in league play, you know who's really good and who might
yeah.
do a certain score. But when you go out to a course that you're familiar with, is it more about trying to, I don't know, shape shots and do different things to try to get a certain score and not maybe not worry about what somebody else is doing from another team?
Well, if you're playing at a course you know, then you know where to hit it every time, but you might not hit it there every single time, so you need to find ways to get it in the hole. Yeah.
Okay. Coach, how about that for you? When you're in a team environment, is it more of, are you watching what the other scores might be or just more focused on what your guys can do against that course that particular day?
Well, we have this new app now, but Brogan won't let me look at it during tournaments. He forbids me to look at it. But you get a pretty good idea from watching the guys. But to go to what Brogan was talking about, he was a medalist this year at a course where he'd never seen before. Walked in and became the medalist at that at Scioto Country Club, which is a premier golf course.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's pretty prestigious right
so,
there.
that's his mentality. He just, why not me? He is not ever back down from a challenge. The guys, from a coaching standpoint, we know there's a lot of individual effort, but we do have to post one score. So, it's everybody's out there. You're affecting your teammates no matter what you do. So,
and this doesn't really fit, but you see so many top-notch golfers really struggle in team events. Like, and I haven't been able to put my finger on why that is, but it seems to be different at, obviously, the high school level where it is all for one and one for all. It's just amazing the difference because, and I hate to say it, but it's a lot of the Americans that really struggle in the team play.
Well, absolutely. At the pro level, they're it's them all the time.
Yeah.
And they can have fun playing in that team event, but they don't do it all the time. This is the only way we can do it. and that you get pretty close to your teammates. And you know, I love all the guys on our team, and no matter how they play, it's a great team building experience.
What's it like playing for this coach? I mean, he seems pretty even keeled, which you have to be in this sport. But what's it been like having him as a coach for you, Brogan?
It's been a lot of fun. Can make a couple jokes and he won't get very mad. In like a practice round, he'll just hit whatever you want, like different shots, and he'll joke around with us. Just have a lot of fun with it.
So he'll let you experiment a little bit,
yeah,
just to see how you maybe can, or if something works or something doesn't work.
Yeah, like we had a practice, and everyone on the team went out and like played 9 holes, but I was like, Coach, I need to work on chipping. Like, it's bad. And he let me do that. Met back up after practice, prayed, and sent us home.
What is it like when you are a medalist and you've been a state qualifier? I mean, you seem very low-key yourself, and you don't let things get too high, but that's got to feel pretty good, again, in such an individual sport where you're taking on the best in the state, to do what you've been able to do and qualify for state, player of the year in the league as well. A lot of accolades here, son, so how have you taken that all in stride?
It's been a lot of fun being at state a lot, and, like, being medalist, you get used to the feeling, and it's like, okay, now I want more medalists, now I want the state. It's just a lot of fun to be there with your teammates and celebrate.
Yeah. Is there, and I'll ask the coach the same question on this, but the run that this program has had over the last 4 years of making it to state, finishing second twice, is that fun pressure, added pressure, because you want to keep going and you want to be able to get to state. So what is that like, knowing what's happened before you, now coming to now, and your last go-around? I know that's your goal, obviously, but what's it been like with that legacy that was there right as you got started as well?
It's pressure, keeping the legacy going, obviously. Yeah, like you said, been last 4 times. That's tough to do. I think our other assistant coach said we've been 7 and 12 years.
Yeah, yeah. So do you feel that even when you get to state? Because I'm going to say you're going to go to state. So I'm just going to make that call right now. After you make it, is there like less pressure? Okay, we've hit this now. Now we can just go out and play. So is there maybe more pressure leading up to it?
I feel like districts is the most pressure. It's either you win that or you go home.
Yeah.
Like state, you have a shot to compete for the trophy, but even if you lose, you know that you made it there.
Kind of like making it the Final Four in basketball,
yeah,
and things of that nature. All right, so Coach, I know you don't want to put pressure on the kids, but again, to have that success, how do you temper that?
Well, the only one that like Brogy said, when it's district, for our division, they only take one out of the central district, so we can't try to hoodwink them at all. We say, this is, you have to win today. That's true pressure. When we get to the state, there's pressure that they put on themselves, mm-hmm, to do well, but we truly want to win. So I guess there's pressure there, but that's self-imposed. Well, you know, it's fun. To me, it's fun pressure. And the guys feel it, and I try to be as low-key as I can without lying to them and saying, there's no pressure here, but there is. You know, this is the only place where we play, and they announce your name, and it's a big deal. So we don't try to, you know, mess around with it. Tell them.
Yeah.
Have some fun. And we've been fortunate enough to have some fun. You know, we were good in 2020, and then when this guy came along, we became real good.
Yes.
So.
And if I'm looking at this right, if my numbers are correct, so districts are at Turnberry, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Next Wednesday, the October 2nd, and there will be 6 Division III teams there. And it will be set up just like today. We get to go off the back 9 first, which we feel is an advantage. There's some very difficult holes back on the back. We get to play those while we're still somewhat fresh. It's a little easier mentally to go through those when you're not tired.
Right, right. And the other part of this, and it seems like this has been the case at least the last couple of state runs, and I wonder what's going to happen this year around with Mother Nature, because come late October, it's totally different than what you've played. How can you adjust to that?
It's pretty amazing. It's like the Mother Nature knows, oh, it's golf season. You know, it could be like balmy all through September, and come that week of the States, it just goes down. And we've had snow frost delays, the last couple years, where, you know, we get a text, yep, we're in an hour text or frost delay. So it can be anything, and then very, very breezy. So the adjustments, just tell them, you know, be very aware of the wind position, and, you know, are you into it or is it with you? And just little things that can make a huge difference.
Do you have to slow down when the weather changes like that? Because, like you said, the wind, it even could shift hole to hole.
Absolutely.
And that. So even if you're a fast player, do you have to just kind of say, hey, these are things I need to really be aware of?
That's a great question, Brian, because, yes, that's my mantra all the time. Slow it down. Because you can get in a hurry, especially if things start to go south. Some kids want to just get it over with, but that's, you know, contrary to being good at it. So we do urge them to slow down a little bit. We'll never be called for slow play on our team. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'd like to have a bridle and pull them back a little bit. They like to get after it.
What about for you mentally when the weather changes and things like that? How are you, and again, your success has shown you've been able to adjust to it, but is it just one of those things you say, okay, this is an obstacle and I'm just gonna have to deal to it and adjust to it?
Yeah, I just think if weather gets bad, like at our first runner-up at state, it was horrible. It was 50-mile-per-hour winds, a little sprinkle the whole day. At least the first day. And like last year for D1 state, they had it easy. They had 72 degrees, sunny, little to no wind. But
and then the front came in and everything changed.
And then I just think, yeah, it's an obstacle, but it's just going to try to stop me from scoring good, and I'm not going to let it.
You really have to have that. You really have to have that attitude. If you were going to meet up to a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid who got his first pair of clubs, What would you tell him? What would you tell him about the game? What would you tell him just as you get started? Because again, when you first get started, I don't want anything to do with it. This is a lot. I just thought we could just look at this ball that's not going to move, and we're just going to hit it and be good. We know that's not the case. So what would you tell a youngster just getting started?
Just practice every day. Not going to get better unless you practice. Get lessons, buy a course membership, just go out. You'll like it if you do it enough.
How much do you think you've practiced over the years? How many hours? Any way you could fathom how much it is? Because it just seems to me like this is your livelihood. I mean, you have decided I'm in. So yeah. you're not turning away from it. So any guess on how much that might have been?
It's a lot. I mean, some school practices, when it's slow, it could take 2.5 hours for 9 holes.
That's when he has the bridle on you and he wants you to slow down.
Yeah. Practice rounds, 5 hours, something like that. Just going out playing by yourself. Another, if it's a slower course, could even take up to like 6 or 7.
Wow. And you mentioned by yourself. Is it also, though, a stress reliever from everything else going on sometimes with golf, especially if you're playing well?
Yeah. I think that's why golf became so popular after COVID, because people were like, okay, this looks fun. I get to be by myself with friends, or just go have fun and play something new.
Yeah. Favorite course you've ever played?
Ooh. Put me on the spot.
Is it easier if I say toughest course you've ever played?
No. My favorite one's probably Pinehurst number 2.
Now, see, I've actually played there, too.
Yeah.
I bet you had a better score than I did.
I think I shot 76.
I have never been. 76? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is awesome. First time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding, Coach. Kid's pretty good.
Six, I believe, at Carnoustie across the pond.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
At North Star 2 years ago when he was talking about the horrible conditions, he was first team All-Ohio.
Wow. Well, I loved Pinehurst. I didn't like the sloped greens by any stretch. Mm-hmm. I remember just sweating on that first tee. I said, just let me hit the ball. And I literally hit it right down the middle. I didn't do it the rest of the day, but the first hole I did, that was an amazing course and to play those. So I'm assuming we're going to continue this after we graduate from Newark Catholic?
That's the goal.
Outstanding. Coach, anything else you want to add about the program? And I know we've focused a lot about him, but any other players that you want to mention that have had a good season?
Sure. Bobby Kiber, our number two man, he and Brogan have both shot subpar rounds this year. Brogan has made three medalists. Bobby has two. And then Carter Hahn that transferred from Heath that didn't get to play the second half of last year. He's our three man. He's broken 80 a few times. He finished strong today. Charlie Durring, our other senior, has really come on at the right time. Broke 80 for his first time last week at Denison.
Cool.
Great place to do that.
Yes.
And then Alex Nagel, our five-man, has been a really fun experience. He's such a good athlete, and we just have to keep telling him, you know, it's like you were talking about, you should just feel like you should be good at golf automatically. And he just hadn't got a lot of opportunities, but he's a gamer. So I'm, you know, high on all of these guys.
Outstanding. Well, congratulations on a great day today. We'll look forward to the districts and then afterwards to the state. So thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having
us. Best of luck moving forward.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, we'll talk some Newark Catholic football as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room from Chip Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
Let's get back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Chip Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And welcome back, everyone, as we continue the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7. Let's talk some Newark Catholic football right now with head coach Josh Hendershot and Mr. Do-Everything on both offense and defense, Mikey Hess. Guys, you know, it's no surprise you don't want to be 0-5, but this has been a gauntlet of a schedule for you both at home and on the road. So just the demeanor of your guys right now as you get ready for the second half of the season and LCL Cardinal play.
Yeah, it was a really, really exciting practice today. I think the guys are just excited about kind of the new mentality of, hey, this is our next season, you know. And it was a tough five games. We played a lot of really good opponents, and we showed signs of what we can be. And I think that's where a lot of the motivation showed up today for practice is, hey, we know what we can do when we put everything together. So now, hey, this is how we're going to do it. These are the fundamentals needed. And then, you know, let's go out and, you know, take that next step against Northridge.
Mikey, from a player's perspective, your thoughts?
Yeah, so the great thing about our team is I think even though we're 0-5, all the players right now are still have super positive mindsets and the leadership's still there and everything. I mean, it doesn't feel like we're 0-5. Our mindset's still right. So we're looking to just get after it second half of the season and then go into the playoffs after that. So
yeah, I mean, the goals are still there. I mean, yeah. you always want to go undefeated. Okay, that goal's, but to be able to capture a league title, because the Cardinal is wide open at this point. Johnstown has gotten off to a good start, but you've got a chance to play everybody and prove that the Newark Catholic football is back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the exciting part is, you know, no matter what happened, obviously we wanted to do better. But, you know, like Mikey said, the guys' attitudes are in the right place. And, you know, we got to take it one step at a time, one day at a time. And our mindset lately has been stacking days. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take that and learn how to stack plays. You know, put ourselves in a good position on, you know, first down and a second, and then pick up our third downs and stop them defensively on third down. And, you know, with that mindset, you know, we can really move forward because, like you said, the LCL card was wide open.
As a senior, it's not only what you're going to do for the second half of the season, but what legacy you're going to leave for such an established and successful program. So from Mikey Hess's standpoint, what are you trying to do, not just on the football field, but as a leader in this program for the second half of the season?
Well, like you said, I'm trying to leave better than I came in, leave a lasting tradition that lasts way longer than me just being here. So, yeah. Just
doing what you need to
do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Offense or defense, which one do you like the best?
Running back. I'm an offensive guy. I mean, it depends on the game, but most of the time offense.
But you like hitting people.
Yeah, I do. Well, so, I can do that on offense, too.
That's true, and I've seen you do that. That is very true. I mean, we saw you for the first time when you had to come in and into the playoff game a couple of years ago, and you really have just picked it up, you know, ever since. And it seems to be, and I'll ask Coach about this in a moment, but the running back position is starting to become more influential in offenses at the high school level. Are you starting to see that with even some of the play calls about trying to get more successful on the ground? Because everybody loved the spread and the air attack, but if you're able to control that line of scrimmage and run the football, you're going to win some football
games.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. The game, big games are won in the trenches, and in the run game, it's crucial that you can just simplify the game to just be able to dominate in the run game and not have to pass all over the field.
Is it becoming reciprocal, you think, a little bit in football? Because everybody was all spreads, six wide receivers, here we go. But, I mean, in calling games this year, I've seen more under-center plays and even the I formations come back, even triple I. So are we getting back to old school?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, everything comes, you know, kind of comes back full circle eventually. And a lot of those old sets have kind of have reared their head back in, which is fun. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, we've seen it from, you know, the PV level to high school to college to the NFL. You have to be able to run the football when it matters late in the season. You know, it doesn't really matter, you know, what you do early. It matters. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to run the football and stop the run to win a championship.
How about physicality and line play? I know we're a little bit depleted, but do you feel the line is coming together and getting more cohesive as we move forward?
I think they've taken a step every week. And at times it's shown on paper, and I think last week they did a pretty darn good job. There's some things we got to clean up, but they handled a lot of movement. I mean, we're starting three sophomores right now, you know. This past week we did, and you know, we have a couple older guys who are doing a good job of leading, but the youth at times definitely shows up, but they're fighting their butts off and they're progressing, which is exactly what you want to see as the season unfolds.
What are you seeing from the youngsters, Mikey?
Our line has stepped up a lot, especially we've played some really, really good D lines, and I've been really happy with how our line has been playing.
Anything in particular that you're seeing them do better, maybe game five, than what we saw in game one?
Oh, yeah, just stacking days, like Coach said earlier. Just, you know, things they mess up in a game, like the week before, they're correcting next practice and fixing it for the next game. And you can see that in film over the week. It's pretty cool.
So as we look forward to, as you get ready to take on Northridge, which is another good defensive team, I mean, they love pitching baseball games of 7-0, 8-7, that type of deal. How important is it just to make sure every possession, because you may not have that many come Friday night if Coach Calhoun does what he wants to do, the game might be over by 8:15. But so how do you just kind of tell the guys each possession we're going to have to really execute?
Yeah, I think we're confident in our play calling and what we're going to do on Friday, and I think that we're going to come out with a W. So
prediction made.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I'm confident in our guys, and I think we're going to work our butts off this week, and get after it on Friday.
And it's nice to be coming back home for a couple games,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach, let's talk about your quarterback. I mean, again, he seems to be getting a little bit better in the routine and so forth. He's got the experience you need with Miller, and it seems like he and Mikey really are a good tandem there in the backfield.
Yeah, they are. They do really well together. They've really stepped up this year as leaders. You know, both of them have taken on a really big leadership role, you know, and that's not easy in today's day and age, especially for a young man to have to speak up and lead his peers, and they're both doing that, and they're pushing each other together, and it, you know, helps. They spend a lot of time with each other. You know, they eat lunch every day together, and they're definitely really good friends. But I think out on the field, you know, Miller does a great job of helping Mikey when he needs help, and you know, at times Miller can trust Mikey and just throw up the ball or hand him the ball and make things happen.
And that's one of the things I think can be difficult at the high school level. Everybody's keen on him. You know that coming in. So some coaches try to say, well, maybe we've got to look for other weapons to take some of the pressure off him. But how do you not want to use him as much as you can each and every game?
Yeah, it definitely becomes tough. But that's, you know, that's what we're here for as coaches, to plan it out and to make sure we're moving him around into places. We're changing up the schemes. We're changing up what the defense is seeing with their eyes, to just, you know, throw a little bit of eye candy for a term, you know, on some things to make sure they don't see him right away. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to put your best players in a position where they have the ball when it matters most.
Well, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this considering my certain body type, but your coach has always been impressed with how you take care of your body health-wise, nutrition-wise. So here's my first question. When you want to cheat and you really want something that really doesn't fit into the diet, what is your go-to nasty food?
I like gummies a lot, like candies. So I would say Twin Snakes or just some Hard-Boiled gummy.
Really?
Or gummy snacks.
That's your go-to bad food.
Yeah.
Man. Not double chocolate fudge ice cream or anything like that?
Not a big chocolate guy.
Okay. Well, good for you. That's good. So how did you kind of even get into that and say, hey, if I'm going to be successful, these are the things? Because at your age, it's tough to have that type of responsibility. So how did you do that?
I would say my family plays a big role into that, especially my mom. She's just kind of influenced me into eating healthy, and she makes a lot of my meals, so I mean, that helps. And obviously my coaches practice what they preach, so.
Okay, so what is the favorite food then that is legal?
Yeah, chicken and rice is my go-to.
Okay, you can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong with that. That's good. When you see somebody like this, again, we're talking to him like he's a 20-year-old, but he's still in his teens and so forth, and see his commitment to his work ethic and taking care of his body, how does that make you feel as a coach?
I mean, obviously really proud, you know, and it's his choice, and obviously his family plays a really big role in that, and they're great people. But, you know, for me, the benefit is the other guys get to see it, you know, and they get to see that, you know, hey, if I invest in myself, right, if I do these little things, if I control the controllables, you know, there is a really good outcome. And yeah, it's hard and not everybody wants to do it, but hey, if you do it, you know, like, there's a chance, you know, if you work as hard as him, if you eat like him, and he wants to support you to be as big as him, well, maybe you can be, you know. And that's what's awesome, because, you know, that's been a heavy push for me, just being at the college level and understanding, you know, where the game has changed, nutrition's so big, and,
right,
you know, we've got more kids, you know, packing their meals and meal prepping than we ever have before, and that's 100% due to Mikey and the other guys that do it. They practice it.
I've always heard the argument, some coaches love a bunch of carbs, some don't. What's your philosophy? Like, for game day, how does that work?
For game day, I think it's, you know, balance. You know, you definitely need a good amount of protein, a good amount of carb. Really, on game day, it's you want the guys to feel the best that they can feel. You know, the other days leading up to that are so much more important. You know, the Friday after the game, the Saturday, the Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, all of those leading up, you know, are so vital, where, you know, a kid like Mikey, he's having his breakfast every day. He's eating his lunch. He's having a snack. He's having dinner. And those are so big that his body's in the right place already on game day.
Are you routine driven?
Like, do you like a set schedule of things?
Yeah, and the summer's hard because it gets you out of a routine a little bit. So I would say schools, it's way easier to do during school, but it's all about building a habit. And once you have your habits down, I mean, it becomes permanent. So that's what has helped me the most.
You've also played outfield, if memory serves me right, correct?
So really everywhere in baseball.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What do you love about that sport?
I really like the, I mean, it does, like, a couple of years ago, I was, like, really, like, serious about baseball. It really stressed me out, and now I've enjoyed it so much more because I've taken a step back, and I don't, like, care about it as much in a, like, sense of, oh, I'm going to play at the next level. I've just, like, I've turned to just having fun with it. So that's what I love about baseball, just going out there and having fun with my guys.
Well, and I think that sport can drive you crazy
mentally.
So that's very true. However, I just saw that Max Scherzer, the great pitcher, is currently on three contracts of $30 million, $9 million, and $15 million, and he's pitched nine games.
Yeah.
So you're sure you're not interested?
Yeah. Not for me.
Okay.
At the next level.
All right. Coach, we talked a little bit about it, but keys for Friday against the Northridge Vikings.
Our base medals. You know, we've got to be really good on first down and third down. You know, at second down somewhere we've stepped up, but, you know, we've got to cut our penalties. We've got to be discipline oriented. We have to keep drives moving offensively. So whether that means third and 10, let's find our key targets, let's find their weaknesses and let's attack. Whether it's third and one, getting up to the line of scrimmage, finding a way to get that yard. And then obviously on the flip side of that defensively, again, on, you know, first down is putting them in second and long and third down, making sure that we are reading our key and playing downhill and playing fast so that we can, you know, hold them out of first down.
We always love looking ahead in the media, and I know you guys can't do it, but this game seems like it could be a catapult to a pretty strong second half of the season, and Mikey alluded to it. Just because of the division you're in the region, the opportunity is there. I just think it's that one push that might get those wheels going.
Yeah, and it's a good push because Northridge is a good football team. That's Coach Calhoun does a really good job with them. They're well coached. They're disciplined. You know, they have similar numbers to us. You know, they've played a good schedule. I don't know if they've maybe seen some of the teams we have, but they've also found a way to win. So, you know, we definitely have our work cut out for us, and I love Mikey's confidence, and I want all the guys to feel that way. But we showed up today, we gotta show up tomorrow. You know, we've gotta go 1-0 every day.
And you tell your teammates before you go out on the field Friday night what?
Come Friday, I'm just hyping our team up. All the preparation comes in advance through the week, so once comes Friday, I'm just hyping our team up.
And let's just go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Guys, we appreciate your time. I know you just got done with practice. Thanks so much for coming out. Good luck Friday against the Vikings. We'll wrap up this edition after our final timeout. Listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And thanks once again to our athletes and coaches from Newark Catholic joining us on this Monday evening, as well as their very supportive crowd as well. Great performance here tonight here at Ship Brothers Brewing. Our next broadcast of the high school football game of the week will be this Friday night, the kickoff of the LCL Buckeye, as we will be in Granville as the unbeaten Blue Aces take on the winless Watkins Memorial Warriors. But that is a trap game if there ever was one. Watkins, a very good football team, trying to get things back going on offense, but they are facing a juggernaut right now in the Blue Aces, who are getting it done on both sides of the ball. We'll have all the action for you exclusively right here with the pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 p.m. Hopefully you can join us then. CJ, great job as always here with me at the restaurant. For everyone else at WCLT, Kate 98.7, and our whole group, this is Brian Mays. Have a great Monday evening, everyone. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing.